Well, God bless you today. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5. So I'm going to ask you to turn there. We're going to continue in our thought here of dead or alive, dead to sin and alive to God. Last week, we talked about Jesus dying to the law. I want to just remind you about that one more time. Jesus came under the law. He was born under law. He was born a Jewish man. The same law that condemns is the law under which Jesus was born. And with Jesus being born under that, he was obedient to that law. And as he stayed obedient to that law, Jesus Christ died the penalty of that law. The wages of sin is death, and everybody that was under the law was dying. There was no way out of it. They had sacrifices that were given, so even the death of the animals were about what the law was. It wasn't just about keeping things. Because we couldn't keep that, animals died as well. Christ died finally to pay the final portion of the law. He completed the law. He fulfilled the law. He finished the law. And I'm going to show you why that's so important this morning. I want to show you some things that I hope you'll see after we get done here. You have a brand new life, literally. Not just poetically. Not just out here in the ethereal realm. You have a brand new life. It is a gift from God to be used fully and completely. Before we do, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Pick up your reading with me at verse 12. We're going to read quite a little bit here because I want you to see what the scriptures themselves say. Listen to what he said. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Stop. Who's the one man? Adam. Sin entered the world through Adam. Adam and Eve are the first couple. Sin is entering the world through them, and sin is going to pass on. Let's see what he says here. And death through sin. So did Adam and Eve die? Yes, they did. By death, what do we mean? Did they physically die right away? No. Death simply means a separation. And what's going to happen to Adam and Eve? They are becoming separated from the God. Do you remember what they did? They quickly covered themselves up because now they realized they were without clothes. They were naked. They quickly covered themselves up. They ran away because they could hear God coming. They hid from God so they wouldn't have to see him. And God had to ask them, what are you doing? Stand up. Let's talk about things. What's going on with you? And that's when Adam admits, we heard you coming and we ran to hide from you. That's been the way of people ever since then. To cover up their unrighteousness, to try to do something to make themselves look good. It's been to run away from God. Get away from that as far as you can. If that means run away from God's people, then run away from God's people, but get away. And if at all possible, hide from God. That's a way that all of us live throughout our lives. And that one man, Adam, brought sin into the world, and death, separation from God, came from that. Now, physical death is going to follow that. But the death that we experience is that separation from God, where I don't want to be around God. And all of his children afterward are twisted away from God. All right? Let's go on with the verse again. Verse 12 again. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. Now see, it's not the law that told us we're sinners. No, what the law did was tell us that sin is against God. It's not simply against other people. It's not simply mistakes. It's not simply bad things that you do. It's not simply making some errors along the way. It is a violation of the Creator himself. This is not the way the Creator intended you to be. And sin is anything that came against the Creator. And sin was going on long before the law was. How do we know that? Listen to what he says. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. They didn't do the same thing that Adam did, but they're still dying the same kind of death Adam did, because they're still sinners. So in other words, you didn't need the law to be a sinner. The law only tells you who you're really sinning against. You were a sinner because you were violating Almighty God. Now you are aware of it by the law. Okay? Let's go on. Not to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. What do we mean by type? Another word for type is example. It's a forerunner. It's someone who's an example of what's about to happen. Adam was a type. He was an example. There was someone else who was going to come. Matter of fact, as quickly as Genesis 3:15, we were already told that someone from the seed of the woman was going to come and crush the head of Satan, though Satan would bruise his heel. So we knew that somebody was coming. A second Adam, a second Messiah, if you would. Matter of fact, Noah's dad named him Noah because he thought Noah was going to be that one who finally delivers us from the sin-death thing. Joshua is the name. Matter of fact, the name for Jesus is actually Yeshua because it means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. So even in naming Jesus, Yeshua, they're telling us the Lord saves. All right. They knew a Messiah was coming. So Adam is the type. Adam is going to represent all of us. All of us are going to be in Adam, and all of us are going to be sinners because we were all coming from Adam. Everybody with me on that? All right, let's go one step further and see what else he says about that. But the free gift is not like the offense. Free gift? What does he mean by free gift? Eternal life is a free gift. It's not something earned. It's something given. Go on, boy. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. So it's given differently. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. So God's free gift justifies you. And that's coming through this other Adam we'll talk about in just a moment. Let's go on further with it. He goes on to say, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Now, here's what he's saying. Here's old Adam. And in Adam, all of us were alive until Adam sinned. And with Adam's sin, he died, and all of his offspring afterward are going to be in the same death, though they don't do the same sin. Same death, different kind of sin. Now we're coming up to the last Adam, Jesus Christ, and through him, dying to sin, dying to the law, paying for sin in full, all who put faith in him now receive righteousness. So, one man's offense kills us. Another man's action gives us life. That's where he's going with this. Let's go on to verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stop a minute. Let's take a look at this. I'm going to try to do a little illustration up here on the platform. Now, I do things from my own perspective on the platform. I forget that I'm a mirror to you. So when I start over here as a timeline, I'm coming to recognize, as people pointed out, that's the wrong side of the platform. You should be starting over here because we all know things progress from the right to the left. That's how you read, right? Okay, well, let me remind you. Well, yeah, backwards, whatever. I do know this, and you do too. Hebrew goes the other way. So just understand that I'm speaking to you in Hebrew on a platform. Fair enough? All right. I'm sorry, but that was pointed out to me, and we don't progress to say, well, so I'm going to try to change that this morning, all right? Going to try to change that. Let's go to letter A in your outline. Let's get it. All people are in one of two states. Now, you can underline all if you want to, because all means all. All people are in one of two states. They're either in Adam or they're in Christ. And that's the last Adam. All of us are born in Adam and will remain there unless death and rebirth takes place in us. In Adam, we all die, for the wages of sin is death. Adam is the old man in us. And I'm going to share with you now some characteristics of that old man. All right? These are things that the old man does in us. And let me see if I can point it out this way. Here are going to be two realms today. On this side of the platform, and notice I'm doing it from your side of thinking now, all right? So on this side of the platform, this is the realm of sin and death. Okay? And this realm has a nice big border around it, like so. And everybody born is born in this realm. This realm has certain rules for existence. If you want to take this outer space, you sure can. There's certain things that happen here on earth that are rules you have to follow here on earth. If you're going to be in a space station, things are different. You're going to have to behave differently. There are a few things that are different in the space, and they're not the same. Person may be the same, but things are happening in the outer space. You're losing bone mass. You're losing ideas of what balance is. You're doing all kinds of things out here in the space station that's not happening to you here. So this realm of sin and death has certain rules to it. You're going to die in this one. In this realm right here, because this is where you are born, every one of us are going to be motivated to take back what God took away. Now, I've been thinking this through. That is right. Every one of us are motivated to take back what God took away. What did God take away in the garden? What was it that he took away from us? What was the result of our sin that puts us in this realm of sin and death? What he put in it? What did he take away? In taking away, I no longer have the garden. What was in the garden? Kids, there was a good life. As a matter of fact, in that garden, the work that I do is almost like recreation. Because God is giving me everything to eat. I am tending the garden. That's all I'm doing. There isn't death in the garden. The plants are not dying in the garden. There isn't death. There's not a repeated sin and death cycle in the garden. It's a good life. And life is being given to me. My health is being given to me. Everlasting life is being given to me. Everything is being given to me. When sin and death came, he took me out of that. And now my work is going to be hard work. And it's only going to take care of my outer body. You follow where I'm at? That's all it's going to do. All my work, no matter how much I sweat, toil, and everything, all it's going to do is give me enough to eat, have energy, clothe myself, have a good life. My whole life I'm going to spend trying to get back what I lost. Now listen, some people in trying to get back what they lost are angry about it. Because God stole it. I have a right to a good life. And God took it away. And they're angry with God and they'll try to work everything they can to get back what they lost in the garden. Unfortunately, the law of sin and death that operates in this one, you're going to die and you can't take it with you. This is it. This is it. Work hard all you want. But you're still going to die. And you will not get back the garden. You won't get anything back. Listen to some of the things that I realize are a part of this. I have a right to a good life. It was mine, but God took it away. And because of that, I have thoughts of equality with God in everything. I think I'm equal with him. I think I can question him. I think I can say, I don't believe what you've said. I believe the way I think. That's the better way. That's everything that operates in this realm right here. And I can tell you this, this realm, according to Romans chapter 8, says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can they be. The law of God only condemns them in the realm of sin and death. That's all you can get. That's all that's here. God can just point out what's wrong about you, because you're going to fail it. In this realm that's known as in Adam, that's known as in the flesh, we think we're equal with God. What was it Satan told us would take place? He told us in the garden, God knows that in the day you eat of this plant, you will be like him. And the choice that was made was, I want equality with God. He has lied to me. He's not told me the truth about this. All I have to do is eat this, and I will be equal with God. I'll be as wise as God. Now, let me tell you what that wound up doing with us. We were free to do as I wish with the expectation that I'm not responsible for the consequences of that decision. Adam and all the pre-flood relatives, that's the way they lived their lives. They had a right. Listen, as Cain complains to God that even though he had murdered his own brother, God had no real right to deny him a good life. And he still goes on his own to do that. He doesn't expect to be responsible for his own consequences. Doesn't expect to be responsible. If I can say further, we are able to modify God's plan to my own concept of reality, or that which is convenient for me, and expect God to accept it. Their sacrifice is supposed to be made. And Cain decided, even though God has this system of sacrifices, I'm not about to kill something. I don't want to kill anything for it. I got food here. Let me offer him my food instead. And God was not pleased with that sacrifice. Listen, living in this realm right here, people are always telling God what he's got to accept. They're going to do exceptional things and expect God to accept what they've done. I've modified your rules, Lord. I know that's what you've said, but I believe that if a man's sincere, you can do this. Go on any further. I can know this. We're able and willing to assist God when he's too slow in getting things done. Have you ever noticed God sometimes is just too slow to get things done? You know what you want, and you ask him about it, and after all, you have a right to a good life, right? Hello, right? And since you have a right to a good life, since God took it away, he has the responsibility of giving it to you. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about here? And I'm not just up here making a fool of myself. Okay, good. Going on further, listen to what happens with this. When God is too slow in getting things done, I need to assist him. Now think with me just for a moment. Abraham is the first man we get to hear who is a man of faith. His faith was so much, it made him righteous before God. He is fully justified because he was the first guy that's going around trusting God. Well, after the flood. First one we have record of. He actually trusts God, believes him, and lives that way. But God promised him that he was going to have a baby. And it's not happening. And it's not happening. And it's not happening. And he's looking his wife over. It ain't gonna happen. It's done. This isn't gonna happen. Ah, plan B. God's too slow at what he's doing. I'll assist him. And Hagar is offered. And as Hagar is offered, Hagar has a baby. Ha ha! I've got my son. I've got the promised seed. God says, that's not the promised seed. I didn't promise that. You did that. I'm not supposed to accept that. That's not the one that's got the promise. Just because he came from your loins doesn't make him yours. That's not the one that's a promise. Yours is going to come from your wife. I told you, it's from your wife. But my wife's old. I said it's coming from your wife. Will you believe him or assist him? Anybody here? Well, I want to ask that. ever assisted God? Listen, King Saul. Here's a guy who was giving victory, battles, leadership, always giving everything. But God's a little slow at sending Samuel. Samuel just takes his time getting there, and Saul's got a battle plan going. He's got an agenda going here, and Samuel's hurting the agenda. He's afraid he's going to lose all his soldiers. So he says, just bring me the sacrifice. I'll do the sacrifice. Hold it, Saul. You're of the tribe of Benjamin. You're disqualified to offer sacrifices. You can't offer sacrifices. That's not yours. Only Samuel can do that. Wait for Samuel. Nope, I got to get going. I'm losing troops. God's too slow at doing what he's doing. I'm going to help him out. Why? Because I have a right to a good life. I have a right to do what's the best thing. I have a right to get success and victory. And that's what this realm of sin and death is all about. That's the motivation for living here. And may I say, you cannot escape it. There isn't a way to step out of this one. That's the rules of this one. Everybody follow me? The rules are just as secure in this one as gravity is secure. They're just as secure in this one as sowing and reaping is secure. They're just as secure here as the whole of the heavens moving about the way they do is secure. That's what's in the law of sin and death. That's what's in the world of sin and death. That's what it is to be in Adam. That's what it to be in the flesh. Everybody with me? All right. I wrote down a whole bunch more of those, but I think I'll just say a couple of these. We're able to question God's decisions and actions. Because we think we're equal with God in some way or another, we have a right to question him, so Job questions him. We are able to correct God when his plan does not make sense to me or when it does not fit my preconceived idea of what should and needs to be done. So Peter hears Jesus say, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be delivered up to the Jews. I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going to be raised again from the dead. And you can hear Peter saying, not so, Lord. What, do you think you're omniscient? Forget who you're talking to. You're talking to old Peter here. I've got a different plan. I've got an idea how this actually should work. So let me correct you on this. That's not the way it's going to happen at all. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to set you up on the throne there, and you're going to rule forever. How about that? And the reply of our Lord is, get behind me, Satan. What's the source of his thinking? The same source that was back in the garden. Everybody with me where I'm coming from? That's what it is to live in Adam. In the flesh, in the realm of sin and death. That's all that's in this one. It's a place of rebellion. Now, let me just say even further. There are people in this one who get an idea that God really has something to do with this whole thing. So, what if I do the things that I think he wants done, and then he will give me a good life? Right? Are you following me? If I just do the things that I think he likes, because he's a lot like us, I can buy him off. Hey, you like sacrifices, don't you, God? Don't you like sacrifices? Watch this. Blood. Look at that thing bloody all over the place, huh? I did that. For you. I did it for you. All for you. And here, let me cut the pieces up, set them on there. Smell that? Huh? So do I get a good life now or what? And he says, I don't want your rituals. I don't want your religious feelings. I'm not looking for your affections that way. You're living in the wrong realm. You're going to die in this realm. That's all you got. You can't be justified before me in this realm. Everybody with me? Now, go on to the second, letter B. That was fun, wasn't it? Yeah. All right. Number two, some by faith, that some people by faith have been born again and placed in Christ. Christ formed in those who have died with Christ and been reborn is the new man in us. Now, why did I come up with this old man, new man? I want you to know that everybody living in this realm is filled with Adam, the old man. This is the one that's the sin generator that keeps on coming up with religious affections, keeps on coming up with rituals, keeps up on trying to buy out God, keeps on being mad at God because he took away what's really my right. I have a right to a good life. I have a right to live that way. And I'm going to take back what you took away. If I have to buy you off, if I have to come against you in rebellion, however it is, I'm buying you off. Some by faith, however, get transferred out of this one. Now follow with me here. Here's the realm of sin and death. Here comes one into this realm. And he's born in this one. And he's coming, looks just like us. But he's being obedient in this realm right here. And what's more, he's dying in this realm right here, a death that should have been mine and yours. How do I get out of this realm of sin and death? I do it by the cross. You see, it's there that Christ's death on the cross pays for all of my life in this realm of sin and death. The whole thing is paid for. My motive has been willpower in this one. Doing what I think God wants done and doing it right out of my own strength. I don't have the strength to keep on doing it his way because the first thing that's wrong with me, I've already been away from him and I'm not interested in doing what he wants. I'm interested in success. I'm interested in a good life. I don't care about the process to get there. I'm interested in a good life. The life I was supposed to have that God took away from me. When I come to the cross, I'm dying to all of that. You see, when Christ died on the cross, I'm dying with him. We're ended. My life in that realm is finished. I'm dying with Christ. All the things that I have done against my living God, he is bearing in my place. He's paying for them in full. Now get the rest of the story. If Christ had remained dead, that would be a pretty good story there, wouldn't it? But he didn't remain dead. You see, when Christ died, just those few days later, he's raised from the dead. Now, he's finished everything over there, and he's got a whole new one going over here. A whole new realm called grace. A whole new life of forgiveness, of a new life. And by his resurrection, he's coming up over here in this realm. And because I died with him, I'm also raised with him. This is where I live. This is how I live. Now, let me tell you, I got memories of this one. But they're memories. They're not my way of life. Now, from over here in this realm of grace and faith, I can sometimes remember what it was to be over there and want to help God out. I can sometimes remember what it was like over there and seek to do a few more things that I'd like to buy him off for. I can over here say, I do have a good life. It was given to me. I didn't earn it. I didn't create it. God gave me this good life. God gave me everlasting life. It's a gift. Now, follow with me as I take you through the rest of this outline. Look, let's come back to Romans chapter 6 then. Listen to what he says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now look, if it was while I was living over here, Christ died for me and paid for my sin in full, and now I'm living over here, should I return to this system over here to be living? No. Should I return to where I died in order that I can have more grace over here? He's saying that's crazy. You would not do that. God forbid. Now watch what he goes on to say, how he says it. Verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Wait a minute. Did you hear what he said? Again, this is where trust or experience comes in hand. You see, over here in the realm of sin and death, I live everything by my experience. What I can see, I believe. You follow me? This is the lifestyle over here. I only believe what I can see. And some of that I even doubt. Some who live in this realm over here believe that you see, whatever you can see visually is what you get. That's got an element of truth to it. An element. But because of the motivation over on this side, it always will kill you. It always is death. Everybody see where I'm coming from? Now, watch. He said that we died to sin. That's not the realm I live in anymore. I live here. And not by something I did, something he did. He took me out of that one. And the Spirit of God said, you're not in that one anymore, son. You're over here. Welcome to the kingdom of his dear son. This is where you live. And there are new principles over here, sir. I'm not asking you to bear any fruit. I'm going to give you fruit. I'm telling you, abide in me. Stick with me. You worry about the process of developing that. I'll worry about the fruit. But if you sit here and try to do the fruit, you're doing everything that was back over here. You're living by an old principle. Everybody follow where I'm at? If I go back to this seeking my own success, seeking my own fruit, I'm living back in this realm again. What I'm doing over here, Jesus said, if you abide in me, you shall bear fruit. Not produce fruit, bear fruit. I am to be concerned about this process. Not let me see my fruit, but let me get closer to Jesus. Let me get closer to Jesus. Fruit branches stick to the vine. That's where they get the fruit. It's natural for them to bear the fruit if they stay in the sap-bearing tree. You follow where I'm at? And they bear fruit, not produce fruit. We go on a step further with you here. Get this. The old man in me is crucified with Christ. And I have died to sin. This is the test of faith or experience as dominant factor in living a life justified by God. Now here, over here, I lived by sight, by experience. I lived everything over here. The way of life in this realm is the way of trust. It says, I no longer trust me anymore to make my decisions. I no longer trust me anymore to come up with the opinions in life. I am trusting my Savior. That's life in this realm. I'm trusting the Son of God. I'm trusting the Word of God to be true. I'm trusting the promises of God to be true. And I'm going to stick close to the one who gave me those promises. That's where I'll find my victory. All right? Let me go on a step further with you. You're either going to live by faith, trust in Him, or by experience, trust in yourself. Letter C, for me to experience this reality, let me make sure I cover, let's go to Romans 6:6 just for a moment. Here's what he says. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Watch what he's saying. I living in this realm of sin and death, the old man in me, this Adam thing in me, comes to this cross, and Jesus Christ dies there. The old man in me dies, the sin generator, the one that causes this whole problem, and I'm born again over here. I'm a new man living in a new realm. This is the realm of grace and faith, downright scary. The rules are a lot less, but a lot more intense. All I have to do over here is believe God for everything. Yo, wow, that's going to fall right in the face of experience. I'm really going to have to struggle with that. Do I trust God for having created the heavens and the earth? Or do I say, yeah, okay, maybe, maybe, maybe not. Science has really proved beyond all. Experience has really said what you said, God's a lie. What? What did I just say? Yeah, experience just told me that everything God said is a lie. Which one shall I trust? My experience or God's word? Hey, you get where I'm coming from? Listen, kids. There are a whole set of lies that are told over here that come from the liar that are somehow sucked up over here. And we're saying, yeah, okay, we kind of live in both realms. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're going to pick one or the other. If you're going to live over here and experience and not believe what God says, then stay in this one. This is where you're going to die. You're still going to have to come to the cross sometime or another if you ever want to get over in that other one. Everybody see where I'm at? But if this is where you live, this is where you're going to decide whether faith is important or your experience is important. I'm going to tell you this. There's not a one of you here that will ever be enough experienced to know what happened at creation. Never. Why? No eyewitnesses. None. And if you're going to believe the people who tell you they know, why you believe in the liar? They weren't there either. They don't know what they're talking about. They're speculating. They're imagining. They're creating things just like that realm always did. You understand where I'm at? You see, you're going to decide every day, aren't you? Who shall I believe? God? And live in the world of grace and faith? Man, and go back to the old way where he tells me, God forbid, how can you live back there? If you've known enough to come to the cross and die, then know enough to come over here and live again. This is where you're alive. Now, he said that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. This thing is done away. I've been crucified with Christ. That old man, the generator that I was born with over here, has been crucified, and I've been given a new man, the created thing in Christ Jesus over here. This is where I live. Going on, I want you to see this. Let's look at what Romans 6:11 says. Now, I'm going to work my way down to 11 through from verse 7 on. Listen how he said, for he who died, who has died with Christ, well, I'm sorry, he who has died has been freed from sin. Christ died. He's free from sin, right? Did you die with Christ? Then you're free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do you believe that? Is that just a future thing? No, it's right now. If you believe you died with Christ, you're going to believe you live with Christ. Is he alive? Then you're alive. It's not just about your resurrection. That's a given. It's that you're alive now. Let's go on further. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves indeed to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we go. This side, you are dead to God and alive to sin. Find me that? You're dead to God. You have no life in him. You're cut off from him. All the information about God is not clear to you. You have speculations you're making about God because you cannot understand who he is. You're so much engaged in rebellion against him that you've got evil thoughts about him. Over here, you're dead to God and alive to sin. When you are crucified with Christ, that old man crucified with him, that body is killed. It's done. And then with his resurrection, you're alive over here. Now guess what? You're alive to God, but dead to that realm. You can't live in both realms. You're only living in either Adam today or you're living in Christ today. There are no other choices. There's no limbo in between. There's no, hey, the jury's still out on that. I'm not sure what it means. As soon as you make that statement, I know you're coming from over here because you believe you've really got the right to decide whether God is telling the truth or not. Who are you? You don't have the right to determine whether God is telling the truth or not. Silly soul, he knit you in the womb of your mother. How do you think you got here? He's not asking you, would you please believe me? Come on. I got some good ideas. Listen to my ideas for a while. And you say, nah, I don't think so. My ideas are better. That's the rebellion. It's living over here. Let me go on with you. He says this in Romans 6:11 then. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It starts with thinking, doesn't it? I come over here and I say, no, wait a minute. God says that I'm dead to sin and alive to God. What's true? Am I dead to sin and alive to God or not? That's what he says is true. Who knows me better than him? This is the one who says, I know when you lie down, I know when you rise up, I know what you're thinking, I know everything about you. This is what he said is true. So the first thing I do, get up in the morning, I say this. I am dead to sin, I'm alive to God, and God is living in me through the Spirit of God because of Jesus Christ. That's my life today. Jesus, I trust you above everything. I'm not going to balk when the experiences come that I don't necessarily like because I know you designed them for me to be more like your son. Thank you for them. Thank you for my victory today that is in Jesus Christ. So I start with the reckoning. Come and consider that. Put that down in my head. Reckon to be as God has said it is. And number two, act on that truth. So I'm going to believe that truth, and then I'm going to act on the truth. Romans 6, 12 and 13 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. So this body wants all kinds of junk. The body is not the one that rules you. There are times I know this. I think, man, what I'm hungry for right now is blah, blah, and I'll think of what it is. So I'll go see if I can find whatever that thing is. Sometimes, do you know I'm hungry for things that are not good for me? Folks, you can't look like this without it, okay? I'm hungry for things that are not good for me. But if I live by this instead of what makes this function, then this will get into a peculiar shape. Oddly, the one that it was not intended to be in. You follow where I'm at? If I live by what this thing lusts after, and if you think your way through it, you'll know it's not your gut that's telling you what you want. Your gut's saying, oh no, you're not putting that down here again, are you? We struggle with that one. It's your tongue that's saying, oh, that's so good, yeah, yeah. And the gut says, oh no, here it comes. Store it. Boop. There we go. But this is happy, and this has got it. You follow where I'm at? Do you know that your soul is the same way? Why do we take in junk and yield ourselves to take it in? Listen, what are you getting from the TV? That's junk food. Good grief, man, if you went every day to eat everything at McDonald's all day long, sooner or later, and probably sooner than later, you wouldn't feel real good and you wouldn't look real good. Why would you feed your soul that junk? It says instead, don't eat fast food at the information agencies. Eat some wholesome food that comes from God's word and prayer and being with God's people and associating and loving one another. That's what you need to yield yourself to. That's the world you live in, mister. Not that one. Page 2. The rest of the news. I want to take full time with this, so I'm going to set this puppy aside till next week. Everybody okay with that? I look at the time. Listen, this whole thing operates by faith. I am so excited to tell you about the power of the mind and the power of faith, of the mind that God gave you to agree with what God says in such a trusting way. You're committed to it. That's the way of freedom. That's the way of liberty. That's the way of fruitfulness. Don't go back here again. Don't walk back to the law as if the law could do something for you. It never promised you a thing. It told you what you were doing wrong and then told you the wages of what you're doing wrong is sin. This is not where he wants you to live. It's over here. Having died to that one, you're now alive to this one. And I want to share something with you. This is the world of giving, not the world of duty. God is so anxious to give you what you need. He supplied you abundantly with his own Spirit so that you could receive it. Follow that? Listen, he said it in one of the Psalms, he writes, "Israel, Israel, I so wanted to give you honey from the rock. I would have given you the fullness of everything you needed if you had but trusted me. But you would not. And you went back to this system, doing, 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 do more, do more, do more. Maybe he'll give us the life we want. If you had trusted me, I would have given you everything." Do you understand? This is the world you live in. He wants to give you everything. Because this is the world of grace and faith. Grace and faith. It's the world of God giving, not you earning. That's the big difference between these two. You see, over there, you're looking at your success. And you pursue the success. I think everybody that even lives over here knows that the pursuit of success is the best way to not get it. Why? Because that's this realm. The pursuit of the process is what you're after. I'm being changed. I'm being changed. I'm in the process of being changed. And every day I'm going to change just that little bit more. Every day I'm going to take one more step toward true faith in Christ. Every day I'm going to take one more step of being in love with Jesus. Every day, a little bit more, a little bit more. And to know that while I'm living here, I am not condemned. Period. I am not condemned. Why? Because the condemned was there. And that one's gone. I'm alive. Because he's alive. That's enough to make a fundamentalist say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Kids, this is the best news you're ever going to hear. Do you follow that? Do you know that? That's why the gospel is good news. The gospel is not the bad news of why you're so bad. We get it. The good news is why he's so good. That's the good news. It's why he took your place. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and for everything that he is to us. My, we appreciate the good news of Jesus Christ so much, Father. Help us to live by faith. Oh, Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunities that are ours every day to grow just a little bit more, to be better than we were the day before, to be improved by the Spirit of God, to watch you give us the things that we have need of, to watch you take care of us just as you said you would. What a glorious and holy God you are. Thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.